Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, we discussed the draft for the Titans yesterday on the program. We'll discuss it more today, including a Rex Road mock that's been put up there. Looking forward to that one.
Pretty exciting stuff.
It should be pretty exciting stuff. Tim Hasselbeck, who joins Darren Donick and Chase every week, was on the show yesterday and had some interesting comments about the Titans, the quarterback position, and whether or not that could be something they look at come draft time. Here's what Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN had to say yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase.
If it's a he can play whenever situation, then Malik Willis is the guy.
Okay.
And it's because he's an A-plus runner, and he has an A arm. Now, he's a B-minus passer. And so the question is, okay, well, can you make him a better passer? Because the running is absurd. And you oftentimes, and I think we've seen this, we've definitely seen it in college, and we're starting to see more of it in the pros, it's like, hey, the quarterback's going to touch the football 65 or so times in a game. And so if we can have our best athlete, best player touching it that many times, like, we'll sign up for that. And, you know, we'll try to develop him as a passer. Because, and I was unaware of this stat until this morning, I was doing some TV, and, you know, essentially, in college football last year, Malik Willis was responsible for the most, like, evaded tackles of any player coming out this year, which means that's in front of Breece Hall from Iowa State, who, you know, probably ends up being the first running back drafted, or Kenneth Walker from Michigan State. Like, so you're talking about running back type elusiveness out of your quarterback. And in terms of arm strength and things like that, he's got a huge arm. The challenge ends up being is that, like most guys that are really good runners that play the quarterback position, is his feet move really fast, and, you know, they're sometimes spastic, and he kind of gets out of sorts with that, and that affects him as a passer.
That was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, saying maybe Malik Willis could be a guy that long term, if you're the Titans or any other team, could be a guy that you have to work on the passing part of it, but the other attributes are elite. Talking about his speed, his arm strength, and things like that. Hasselbeck also said, I think people may be overreacting a little bit to Ryan Tannehill and the one game against Cincinnati.
How dare you? How dare you, Hasselbeck?
I'm just saying.
Don't you dare stop our throwing of trash on Tannehill for months at a time.
Well, we were making excuses for Tannehill yesterday, according to the text line. So
that's right.
Maybe it's not us.
It's excuse making season.
What did you think of Hasselbeck's comments there on Malik Willis? And if you're the Titans, I don't know. I'm interested to see where he falls, because I have seen a whole lot of. There's been some momentum for Kenny Pickett the last few days in some of the mock drafts that I've seen. A lot of momentum for Kenny Pickett.
A lot of momentum for Kenny Pickett as the top.
Yep.
Yeah. None. And I think Say, I think Kenny Pickett is considered, I think, the safest top QB, but I feel like a lot of people think what Hasselbeck thinks there too about Willis. It's the highest ceiling, you know. You don't know. Sometimes there are tons of examples of tons of, you know, raw ability. Can you refine that and make this player into a really good NFL quarterback? And tons of examples of not being able to, but look, I thought people, there's also examples of quarterbacks who people weren't sure. I mean, like, I'm sorry, I can find the receipts on this. If I could search my Twitter account, which you've taught me how to do, but I really don't know how to do. Like, Lamar Jackson was a junior, guys. I'm like, if you don't think he's an NFL quarterback, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? By the way, one particular Louisville grad who was like, no way he's an NFL quarterback. Yeah, let's see those receipts, Jared. But anyway, I feel like when I've watched Malik Willis It's just, you know, there's a little bit of time that'll be needed. You know, playing at Liberty, I mean, he transferred, you know, from Auburn, but, playing at Liberty, it's a little bit different. And it seems like there's just some things that need to be cleaned up. But he would be my choice if I had to take it. If I was just like all things being equal, who would you pick at quarterback? I'd quickly go to Malik Willis.
Well, and that's, you know, Darren phrased the question of, you know, in the Titans' case, if you're Tannehill, like the quarterback doesn't have to play right away. And that's what, you know, Hasselbeck was talking about there. Well, if he's got some time, he can play whenever. Malik Willis is definitely his guy. And he sounded like he's pretty strong in Malik Willis being that guy.
The question is, I mean, if we're going to relate this to the Titans, is I can't buy that it's realistic. I can't buy it. Because even if it's true that Kenny Pickett is Matt Rhule's choice and he wants to bring it back to when he thought he had him at Temple, which is very possible, someone's going to get Malik Willis, right? Someone's going to move up and grab Malik Willis, right? Maybe
you think.
Maybe the Titans will. Of course, they don't have a second-round pick to trade to do that, which would help.
It would.
If you wanted to do that. I can't buy that he's going to be there for him. I can't buy it.
Well, I finally saw a mock draft yesterday from CBS Sports that had like four quarterbacks going like relatively high. Like Matt Corral went 18 to Pittsburgh.
Who did the draft?
I can't remember who it was. I have to look it back up. But there were like four quarterbacks that went high. And like Pickett was the first one. Willis was the second one, like right after. I think to Atlanta was where Malik Willis went. And then they had like Matt Corral in Pittsburgh at 18 overall.
Yeah, Corral's interesting. I feel like a lot of people have really cooled on him.
Yeah.
I know he got hurt. It's tough. I don't know what to think of Matt Corral. Not that college offenses anymore should really be considered hindrances like they used to be 10 years ago. I mean, when Mariota came out, you know, there was still a lot of, man, that offense, how can you tell? It's like, yeah, watch the guy throw the football.
Yeah.
Now, granted, hasn't worked out well. Not nearly as well as you hope. But, I mean, he's an NFL quarterback. Can we agree? Maybe you can agree.
I agree.
Okay. You give him that. He is a starter this year. Maybe he's Malik Willis's mentor. But Matt Corral, with that Ole Miss offense, he was doing crazy stuff this year. Honestly, like, I go back to the game where they played at Tennessee, so, you know, getting to see someone in person is just different. I wasn't like, oh yes, this guy's going to be big in the NFL.
He ran for like 250 yards in that game. There's a lot of running going on. I think he ran 31 times in that game against Tennessee. He's not going to be running 31 times in the NFL.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's basically what their whole offense was on 3rd and 11. He ran for like they just had some QB designed run, and he moved the chains. I mean, he's very good, but I'm just saying he's a little bit harder to peg down, but that's interesting, and I think that's very possible for sure that there could be a lot more run on QBs than we think, some people think.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays at First Horizon Park. Big win for the Sounds last night. The pregame show with Jeff Hem starts at 6:20 and first pitch is at 6:35. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, Spirited Hive, and Dazed Delta 8. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, I understand that people are unhappy with how it ended. Mm-hmm. He's 33 right now. Like, you know, I think that's young.
But very
like
young.
By NFL standards, yeah, that's really young. And so, you know, I think that there's been this overreaction locally, nationally, because of, you know, one game against Cincinnati in the postseason. Like, I'm assuming he would say that, you know, he wished he played better in that game and all of that. But yeah, I think the idea of drafting a quarterback in the first round, especially this year with these guys that are coming out, and the fact that I think you probably still feel like you've got a really good shot to represent your division in the postseason as the winner of the division, I would be looking at getting, you know, help. Look, they weren't a very good pass blocking offensive line. They didn't have their you know, arguably their best offensive player, maybe not even arguably their best offensive player for much of the season. Like,
that was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Darren Donovan. Chase, say maybe some overreacting going on among Titans fans locally, nationally, about Ryan Tannehill. Says he's still young, 33, man. Today's NFL, 33 is young at the quarterback position. What did you think of that from Hasselbeck?
Alert the Tannetales. We got another member of the Boohoo crew.
Yeah, we do. Hey?
I mean, look, he's not wrong about his age.
He's not.
He could have many years in this league. Will those years be spent with the Titans? I don't know. I mean, the big, you know, this is a big question, I think, that is increasingly surrounding the Titans draft is, are they thinking about his successor? Again, could be his successor, could be his pretty quick replacement if they actually went in the first round for a quarterback. And I understand what he's saying. Everybody's, you know, there's some overreaction for sure. But, I mean, like, you know, it was pretty bad.
Well,
it's got to be pretty bad.
I still take issue with the one game thing because it wasn't one game
with
Ryan Tannehill. It's been, you know, he had some bad games this past season, Cincinnati game outside of that one. I mean, he had some bad games. He's awful against Houston at home here. I mean, you go back to last playoff game, he wasn't good against Baltimore. It's not one game that you're overreacting to. Now, have people in this one game, have they overreacted to that maybe a little bit? Yeah, like because all of a sudden Ryan Tannehill's gone from a guy that is a decent starting quarterback in the NFL that can win you a lot of games, so now he's like apparently the worst quarterback to ever walk through the door. Well, so that part of it, there's definitely been some overreaction. But it's not just a one-game thing.
Well, he's better than a decent quarterback. He was a really good quarterback in 2019 and 2020.
Yeah.
But I think you hit on the thing. It's two straight playoff games where he wasn't good. I still think to Hasselbeck's point, I think there are a lot of things from last year that can excuse him. That awful Houston game, I'd say a couple of those four picks weren't on him. But he still threw a couple others.
Yeah.
He did miss, you know, his best player in the offensive. I mean, the offensive line doubled in how many sacks it gave up. It was a huge, huge fall off in pass protection last year, despite what anyone else might want to tell you. But he didn't handle it as well as you want him to handle it. He didn't carry the team as much as you want him to carry the team. And then the last time he played happened. So, I think it's all certainly enough to question whether he's who you want long-term moving forward and to question whether you would want to give him another deal, which I think was absolutely on the table. Look, how many times did we talk about the relative bargain that he is, that he has been for what he's getting paid? And all of a sudden now it's like, whoa, what's his cap hit next year? Oh, my God. Yeah. Now, granted, that's also kicking the can a little bit, but you know, when they redid his deal, they signed up that for sure, basically next year he's going to be their quarterback. When they initially made the deal, it was set up to get out of it after 2 years if needed.
Right, and now obviously that's not the case. You know, we're talking so much about quarterbacks right now. I still, if I had to put a percentage on it, like the Titans drafting a quarterback in the first round this year, I mean, I'm still going less than 15% if it's me. Some people disagree with that. Some people say there's no chance they're drafting a quarterback, which I don't buy that either, but I would go less than 15% chance they're drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Ben Arthur of the Tennesseans' latest mock has him taking Desmond Ridder.
Mm.
In fact, I want to say, did he have them moving? No, he had them moving down and still getting him at like 32. So there's some momentum. I mean, like you said, I did a mock today, and I basically wrote about just the possibility of a quarterback. One thing that's really interesting is that if he doesn't draft a quarterback this year, that'll be seven drafts for John Robinson without drafting a quarterback. there are three GMs in the league who have gone who have gone that long without drafting. Like, that doesn't happen.
What are you talking about? Luke Falk was in there.
Well, yeah, that's the key. The key is drafting one high. I said top three rounds.
Yeah.
You have to go top three rounds. Because usually when you get a GM job, like, that's one of the first things you do, right? Yeah. Because you take over a crappy team
right.
that needs quarterback. But obviously Robinson came in, took over a crappy team that had just drafted Mariota. So it's a different situation. And then he finds Tannehill. Still arguably as good a transaction as he has on his record.
Yeah.
But this could – it's just the – again, if you think you've got your guy, this is just a really rare situation where you can get your guy where you are in the draft. In a lot of years, there's like four quarterbacks that are absolutely all going to the top 10, and so you have to get there or you're not going to get one.
Brandy on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, are people completely forgetting the same pattern that happened in Miami with Tannehill? He isn't a playoff quarterback, and the Titans should just move on. This is coming from Brandy on the text line.
Well, there wasn't a record of him in Miami in the playoffs. They were bad. You know, they were a bad team most of his tenure. His best season, he actually led them to the playoffs, really, but got hurt, and then Matt Moore had to quarterback the loss at Pittsburgh. So there wasn't any evidence of him as a playoff quarterback.
Right.
But they weren't a playoff team. You want to put that on him? A lot of people did. I think, look at his numbers. And look at everything around him and what they were as an entire football team, I don't think it's fair to put that on him.
Well, and look, the fact of the matter is, the first year here, he made the AFC title game, and then they won the division, and he was really good that year, and then he was bad in the playoff game. And then that, ever since that Baltimore game, has really been what you're talking about in this window right now with Tannehill. He's been really good in some games, like the Seattle game last year. He was excellent in that game, and he's been really bad in other games. He's, since that Baltimore game, I mean, he's been way more inconsistent than he was at his first part of his Titans career. I don't think there's really any way to argue that. So, I mean, 2019, as he took over as starting quarterback, and throughout the 2020 regular season, I mean, he was consistently really good. We were doing the side-by-side numbers of him and Patrick Mahomes, and a lot of the numbers favored Ryan Tannehill with some of those categories. So, I mean, he was about as consistent as it gets for that stretch, and ever since the Baltimore game, for whatever reason you want to throw out there, it's just not been anywhere near the same with him in terms of his consistency.
Yeah. Now, you know, John Glennon, everybody's got mock drafts, and John Glennon wrote something for SI.com basically saying the Titans need to think offensive line because and pointed at Tannehill. And then, look, I mean – we've talked about it, and I think he makes good points. You know, when that offensive line figured it out, it was so bad early in 2019 without Taylor Lewan. Figured it out. It was a huge part of everything they did. Obviously, running the ball. I mean, Derrick Henry was great. The offensive line was great. I mean, you know, they in tandem. It wasn't just Derrick Henry. The offensive line was great, and Tannehill was too. And in 2020 – especially before Lewan got hurt, offensive line play was outstanding. And, I mean, his play, you can certainly draw you can look at some correlation for sure with offensive line health and performance and Tannehill performance. And last year was a huge drop-off, as we've mentioned, and it was a big drop-off for him. So if you want to be great around him, if you're not thinking quarterback, then – You can make a real strong case that you just got to be better up front.
Mike from Nashville texting in says, you guys are spending 12 hours a day talking about a mediocre quarterback. The whole crew, Stillman is going to drone on for 4 hours on the same topic. Spend a critical draft choice on an unpolished quarterback, a QB that has small hands. How about splitting time and talking about the Preds, etc.? Talked about the Preds for an hour today.
Wow.
Talked about college basketball, too.
Yep.
Got Matias at home coming up at 9 o'clock.
Other than that, Mike from Nashville, you make some good points. Woo see piggy? What? Yeah. I think that term is just going to apply
to everything moving forward.
It's like P.J. Fleck, row the boat.
Yes. I got a text that says, I think they should draft a quarterback in the first round and give Tannehill one more shot. Well, I mean, if you're drafting a quarterback in the first round, you can give Tannehill one more shot. But, like, unless he wins the Super Bowl, he's probably not the guy moving forward.
Well, but beyond that, the next time he has a bad game,
yeah.
I mean, the clock will be ticking loudly on Tannehill if they draft a quarterback. Not that, and I think that probably the plan would still be, yeah, okay, Ryan, here it is. This is your prove it year. Go get him. But at least certainly outside the building.
Oh, yeah.
First time he throws a pick, put in Desmond.
Austin from Clarksville texting in says, what do you think about going for running back in the later rounds, like maybe a Ty Chandler? Well, it's interesting you asked that. Mm-hmm. Joe Rexroad has come out with his mock draft. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville now and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, April 16th. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase necessary. And it's also time right now for you to know your numbers. If you answer this question correctly on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the ARCA Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader coming up on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to see the Geico 500 on Sunday, April 24th. Remember, answer this question on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Today's question is a mix of former and current drivers. Jeff Gordon plus William Byron, minus Jimmy Johnson, plus Kyle Larson, plus Chase Elliott equals this Hall of Famer. That's a lot of math you're going to have to do. I'm going to read that off again.
I was told there'd be no math.
Jeff Gordon plus William Byron, minus Jimmy Johnson, plus Kyle Larson, plus Chase Elliott equals this Hall of Famer. If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That may be the toughest one we've asked yet in the history of any trivia question ever.
Is there any dividing? Have we done any with the dividing?
There's been no division as of yet, but I'm not going to put it past our fearless leader who comes up with
these questions. Chase is coming up with these?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Robbie and I were
getting a little feisty on that one.
Robbie and I were like, there's no way anybody's going to get it. And then the last 2 days, text line blowing up. People know their stuff.
Make it tougher.
This one's been a little bit more difficult.
Do it like
But the Hall of Famer, I feel driver, like, is a good clue. It's a Hall of Fame driver.
This driver cubed and then divided by and then throw in like some sine and cosine.
I got a text that says nobody is going to know that. Maybe. We'll find out.
I
got
don't
know.
Got to
work for these tickets. That's right.
I mean, so far, the text line with these, it goes very fast.
It does. You know,
the right answer is just popping in there.
So, Rexroad, you come out with another mock draft at theathletic.com. Your quote on Twitter is, quote, time for you to mock my Titans mock. What do you make of your latest mock draft at theathletic.com?
Well, see, this is where, first of all, shout out to Austin Stanley. He said he really digs it.
There you go.
But then Football and other F-Words pod ripped one of my picks, which I can go ahead and, I mean, I don't know, like, what is... I don't want to get in trouble at The Athletic, you know, because I can't say it. I mean, it's like subscription, you know, material.
You don't
right?
read off the whole thing, yeah.
So what? Like, what's the proper? Like, what's okay? I guess I should ask this. Maybe I should text Mitch right now, my editor, Mitch Light, and say how many? Thank you. Like, how many picks am I able to reveal? But I can reveal. I mean, we have the photo of a Kentucky Wildcat.
That's true.
Wandale Robinson is one of my choices. I can tell you that much. And Football Another F-Word said, well, he's 5'8", 178. Does that matter? I said, well, actually, he's 5'10", 187, according to Dane Brugler, who measures everyone by himself. He measures he's such a detailed draft analyst, he actually does his own measurements, including hands. Kenny Pickett. But anyway, I wrote a lot about quarterback because I really, really thought about quarterback. And I know that there are other mocks at The Athletic coming out that will have the Titans going quarterback. It's become a very popular idea.
Yeah.
But I ultimately just couldn't go there. I don't know. You're at 15%?
Less than 15%.
Less than 15%. Yeah, I would say I'm probably there too. It's probably about, like maybe like 10 to 12%, which is still in the past several drafts, it's 0%.
Right.
So, I mean, it's something. And certainly, the Desmond Ridder thing is, to me, that he's the guy. Just because I think he'd be the attainable possibility. And if they happen to think that much of him, then you know, it could all be lining up for this to happen. And again, Mike Vrabel's going to know everything you need to know. But is Desmond Ridder that good? I just don't know.
I don't know either.
I think he's good enough to be an NFL starting quarterback. But if you're going to make this move, you have to feel better. You have to feel like not that just he's good enough to be like he's the guy. He's quarterback who can bring championships. It's what people usually when people think that about quarterbacks, they go really, really high in the draft, and then they're usually wrong.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I just don't know that Ridder is quite good enough, and so I decided in this very important mock draft not to draft Desmond Ridder.
You did. Now we had a question before the break about maybe a later round running back in the draft, whether that be Ty Chandler. We've thrown a bunch of different possibilities out there. There's a ton of different running backs that you can take a look at. With Darrington Evans now out of the fold, you got Dontrell Hilliard, but maybe a little bit later in the draft, a running back is a position in which they could go. Ty Chandler's been a popular name. We've seen that a few times on the text line. You do not have Ty Chandler being selected in this draft. That I can tell you. It's not Ty Chandler.
Yeah, so, and this is the question. First of all, I do increasingly feel like running back's going to be addressed somewhere.
I do too.
Where, I don't know. And then what kind of running back? You know, that's a big question. They went the fire and ice, whatever you want to call it, route with Darrington Evans.
Smash and dash.
There you go.
Even though, like, Derrick Henry's kind of by himself. Smash and dash.
Right. So, no, it didn't work out. It doesn't mean that deters them from thinking that way. Maybe they think the exact same way. Yeah, got to get a fast guy, like a little fast guy who's kind of like, you know, what Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry together. But I looked at it and where they were, and I don't know. I went Brian Robinson. Is that crazy?
No.
I just thought of with Deontay Foreman.
Built by Bama.
It was nice. Yeah, you got that. But, I mean, you know, just Deontay Foreman was just a really nice, I thought, obviously fill in, but I kind of thought, man, that would be fun to see a whole season of the, you know, Henry and Foreman together. Didn't work out, obviously. But would they want, and Brian Robinson is not Derrick Henry. He's not as good. He does not have the home run capability. He is powerful.
Yeah.
He's a power back. So, but I'm not convinced that's the way they go. But I just thought he was intriguing, and I think he'll be there, you know, in the middle rounds.
Well, I think he will be too. I'm interested to see. I mean, the running back part of it this year, that position, at least in the draft, unless you're just a stud, like he continues to get devalued as you move forward here. So I'm interested to see. Like, I've seen very few, if any, mock drafts where a running back goes in the first round at all. Like, I don't know that I've even seen one that has a running back going in the first round.
I think I've seen a couple. I have seen Breece Hall, a couple of them late. I think I saw Kenneth Walker in one late. But, yeah, no, I mean, that's the position now. Sad. No one's going to want to play running back anymore. Very sad.
Everybody's going to be playing receiver now. Maybe Deebo Samuel's going to change it. You can be both.
Yeah, I guess you do both. That's great. By the way, there's tons of answers on the Chase math.
We have some people that have gotten it correct. I think Blake is the one that got it first. Tony Stewart, the correct answer on the trivia question.
I mean,
so if you followed that math problem and you came up with Tony Stewart, which a few of you did on the text line, good for you.
Did Blake get him first? Yeah. Good. There are a lot of people who got it, but Blake, well done, man.
Had a couple of votes for Ricky Poppy in there, too.
Got some Chick Hicks in there. Yeah. Good job, Chick Hicks.
Big Talladega Nights week here on the program so far.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time. Need to go back and watch it.
I was just thinking the other day, like, I think I need to. It's been a while. Introduce the kids to that. Michelle?
Shake and Bake Ricky Bobby, yes.
Right. There we go.
The Chick Hicks from Cars, that's good stuff.
Talk about a movie I've seen 9 million times.
Cars?
Oh, yeah. Not by choice.
From the children? Yes.
Not by choice. But, man, talk about Jack was obsessed with cars.
Owen Wilson running around as a car.
Yeah, the sequels were kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I got to say. But the original's great.
Hey, shout out to Pixar.
Yep. Good stuff. Anyway, yeah, running backs. Get a running back that can throw well on the text line from Dustin.
One's got that arm loose a little bit.
I don't know. I feel like I saw Brian Robinson throw a halfback pass at one point.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. I thought he looked pretty good. I will Google this to make sure that I saw correctly, but I think that's true. But, no, I mean, it's really interesting. I think running back is going to be addressed. But where, I mean, you know, I think I could have gone all offense, too, with this draft. Didn't. Yeah. Because I think, you know, a lot of people out there in general mock draft land have the Titans going linebacker and edge.
Yeah.
I didn't go either one of them at all. Maybe that's stupid. But I just think that, like, to me, another corner makes sense. And also, I mean, they need that safety depth. They lost Dane Cruikshank. They tried with Brady Breeze last year. That didn't work out. I think another safety is another thing that – I think those are more pressing. I know you don't just go by need. You go by your board. But if you go by need, to me, corner and safety are bigger than – yeah. Right now they're pretty stocked up front. They've got their third linebacker in Rice. Another one would be good. I agree. I think on the edge right now, you know, with keeping a Danny,
yep.
I think you're –
Weaver?
Fine. With Weaver coming back, right?
You would think so.
Never, that's how
never
I went.
Pass rushers, though. Well, another mock draft is come and gone from Joe Rexroad, and there's no kicker. Spoiler alert, no kicker in this.
No, and I will tell you, I thought about punter for the last
one. I'm telling you.
I did. The guy from San Diego State.
Yeah.
But Brett Kern, he's hanging in there. He's fine.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rob rant.
Yes.
Switching it up today. I'll give a nice, calm rant coming up on the other side as well. Join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Ottawa Senators. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. But today it's the Rob Rant. Robbie Stanley taking over Rex Rant duties today from Joe Rex Road. People are enjoying our daily rants on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on there, as always, as Joe Rexroad just 30 minutes ago was complaining about how hot it is in the studio and now has put on a winter jacket at this point.
I mean, it's freezing.
It fluctuates here, right? Wildly. It's unbelievable.
Because we made fun of Chase's math, is he trying to kill us again?
Yeah,
he's trying to meat locker us to
control.
Death?
Yeah.
He's just sitting there at home, like,
just pushing a button.
Crank it up.
Yeah. All right. My rant for the day is this. Superstitions in sports have long been a thing and probably will continue to be a thing for the rest of our lives here in sports. And, look, baseball is probably the worst of anything from not touching the chalk line when you're running out on the field to switching your batting gloves out 500 times in between each pitch or – baseball is a sport filled with superstition. You can take it to hockey. You can really take it to any sport. I remember when Paul Kariya played for the Predators, and he had to go through the exact same pregame routine every single time, and if he didn't, it would just throw him all out of whack. I mean, there's stories left and right that Scott Hartnell has told about Paul Kariya and just like some of the craziness he did with his superstitions in pregame. So this has been a thing for a long time. And look, quite frankly, I think most of them are pretty stupid. But if that's your thing, if you're a player, cool. You do your superstitions, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Where I start to really take issue and where I think it's really dumb is when fans have these superstitions and then they project those on social media. Now, this happens quite frequently, and let me first start by saying this. A nice disclaimer with all due respect, and then I can say whatever I want. I love Predators fans. I really do. I enjoy my interactions with them on Twitter. 95 to 98% of them are very nice and enjoyable, and I like it. And there's Twitter fights that I get into, and I'm not quite as bad as Rex Road with those fights, but I get into some Twitter fights occasionally. What I don't have a lot of patience for, and this happened last night. It happens all the time with goaltenders especially. When they're having a shutout in a performance, or if they're playing really well and you point that out on Twitter, there is a segment, and it's not just the Preds fan base, it's every fan base, that says, why would you say something like this? What happened? You're going to jinx it. It's the shutout. And this happened last night. Saros was playing really well. We talked about it early. He had 47 saves last night. I think at the time it was 4-2 in the third period. And I tweeted out, Saros is feeling it. That's all I said. He's feeling it. He'd already given up two goals then, by the way. All I said was he's feeling it. And I had a couple people that tweeted to me like, I'm going to remember this tweet if something bad happens moving forward here, which of course it didn't. He did not give up another goal the rest of the night, and the Predators won 6-2 last night. But can we please, as a society, stop pretending like either me on Twitter or you on Twitter or the casual fan on Twitter has anything to do with the outcome of a sporting event? Look, trust me, I wish that I had that much influence and that I had that much power. And I think that most people, when they say stuff like this, are joking. I think most of them. But I know that there are some that are serious, that if you talk about a shutout before a goalie gets one on social media, they will lose their mind, and they're absolutely serious about it. And I just think it's absolutely hilarious when this happens. So my rant is this. I don't mind superstitions in sports. I largely think they're dumb, but if players want to do their thing, if they want to tape their stick a certain way, if they want to, I don't know, throw a certain amount of passes before the football game, whatever you want to do, pregame playlist, you knock yourself out. For us people that are not playing the game, if you think you have anything to do with the game, you're crazy. Stop tweeting me.
That's a great rant. I mean, like, and to me, it's like, if that's how you are, then keep that's fine. Then sit on the third couch cushion. That's fine. Do whatever you want to do. Wear your like ratty shirt that you haven't washed in 7 years because your team always wins when you wear the ratty shirt. Whatever. But you can't project it on other people. You know, this also brings to mind, Robbie, is the a big pet peeve of mine is the baseball announcer who won't tell you the actual situation of a game.
Yes.
Because you think somehow you're going to if a pitcher has a freaking no-hitter, yeah, tell the listener, tell the viewer.
Well, you don't want to say what's going on right here because we might jinx it.
Okay. I mean, because I've seen this before. I've seen in baseball a game go all the way to conclusion, and the no-hitter happened, and it's like, no-hitter! And never mention it ever during the brush. Stop.
It's so dumb.
You have nothing to do with the pitcher down there who's spent all his life honing a 96-mile-an-hour fastball and a vicious slider, staring down these batters, and every pitch could be a hit, and that's where the action is happening. What you say in the booth means nothing.
Like some wavelength comes across for the pitcher standing on the mound, like, oh, my gosh. Vin Scully up there just said that I had a no-hitter going. I'm screwed. This is it.
Right.
I'm like done.
The ball is somehow manipulated by Vin mentioning it's a no-hitter. That should almost be like mandated by baseball. Like, if you are calling a game, you tell people that there's a no-hitter going on.
Yeah. Well, look, I have seen, and again, I keep using the Predators and Predators fans as this example because I've just been around it for so long, but there have been many times in the past where like Pekka had a shutout going, and I would say, yeah, Pekka's got 35 saves tonight and a shutout about 2 minutes left in the third period. And sometimes he would let up a goal, and sometimes he would actually complete the shutout even after I said the word. And on the times where he'd let up a goal, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you said it. I was just like, what are you talking about?
He must have seen your tweet.
Yeah, like Packett, while he's in Nets, checking Twitter. Like, oh, man.
That's the thing. It's like, so, yeah, social media is a totally, I mean, not that it's, I guess, any different because, again, what an announcer says in a booth. I mean, I guess if, like, if the announcer at the, you know, if the PA announcer was like, and Justin, here comes Justin Verlander, got another no-hitter, no-hitter through eight. This is a Verlander no-hitter that I was talking about. You know, then I guess, okay, now you might be influencing it because, you're, like, it's in the head of the pitcher, right? Right.
Which, by the way, they're well aware when they have a no-hitter, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right. But still, maybe, okay, fine. Now you're like, ooh, everybody's talking about it. That messes me up.
Well, that's even like the players in the dugout, right? Like when a guy's got a no-hitter, like they just don't even approach him. They're just sitting on the side. They're not even talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, guys, I know that I have a no-hitter. You can speak to me. It's okay.
But that, yes, I guess that's still a little different because there's direct contact with the person. So I wouldn't say you better mention to him he has a no-hitter all the time.
They don't even speak to him at all. Right. They just don't talk to him.
Who are you? He's going to turn
just
away.
Act like he's not there.
Did you say something? Can I get some water? What? I didn't hear anything.
Wait, is there someone talking?
It is all very dumb. By the way, I got to go to Keith here real quick. He has an idea for the different rant names.
Okay.
Rex Rant.
All right.
Stanley Steamer.
Okay. I'm scared.
And Little Red Rippin' Fools.
So not Little Red Riding Hood. Little Red Rippin'
Keith,
Fools.
Keith, I love that. Right.
Little Red Rippin' Fools.
All right.
So somebody on the text line yesterday had something along those lines and then was like, Michelle's tales of how she gets in trouble with the law. And I'm like, that doesn't happen often.
Wow. Yeah.
I just needed to make that clear.
That's good.
The Red Renegade.
I got a texter that says, Collinsworth and Al Michaels are the kings of the jinx talk. Before field goals or extra points, Joe Buck as well. This is coming from David in Murfreesboro. The old, like, oh, this kicker hadn't missed a kick in 17 consecutive tries.
Well, it's like the free throw thing.
Yeah.
You know, which it is funny how often it seems to happen, right?
Well, I think it's just because
he's made 23 straight free throws.
I think it's because most people don't notice it when he sinks the next free throw, right? Like, all the time, somebody's like, well, Steph Curry's made 10 free throws in a row.
And then he makes
it. And then he makes two more, and they're like, nobody ever remembers that.
You just remember. Exactly. Yeah. Right, you just remember, it's like the long snapper. You only remember the time the long snapper botched it, or you only notice officials or offensive linemen when they screw up. Now, it's a very good rant because it, like, again, if that's how you want to be, do it. That's fine.
Sure.
Don't get mad at other people for not following your stupid rules.
Exactly. I got a text that says, the superstition carries into healthcare as well. When I was a nurse on an ICU floor, you would get death stares if you said, quote, it sure is quiet. This is coming from a texter on the text line. So apparently this is not just sports. It's everywhere.
Wait, I don't get it.
It sure is quiet.
Oh, I see. ICU. For a minute, I'm like, what, did someone die? I get it. In other words, here comes all the patients.
Yes.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this happens in a lot of things like that.
Or don't step on a crack or you break your mother's back.
Yeah.
I followed that for a very long time.
Again, look,
I do it. I still do it.
Yeah.
I avoid cracks.
Really?
I do. I know. I mean, I got a lot. But again, I don't get mad at other people.
Just stepped on concrete. I understand, but I actually follow every superstition.
Oh, my goodness. Joe stepped on concrete.
You guys haven't noticed that I've been wearing the same shirt for the last year?
Again, I love you, Predators fans. Don't tweet me about your shutouts anymore. Or, by the way, tweeted that last night. Soros did not allow another goal. So does that excuse it? Like, is it just done at
that
point?
Is it now fine?
Yeah.
It's all fine? What do you get in? Do you yell at these people? Do you mute them?
I didn't say anything to people last night.
Save it for the rant. Save it for the Stanley Steamer.
I saved it for the rant tonight. I don't know if that's the name we're going with.
Yeah. I can see why you wouldn't want to go with that one.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.